It's the Pareto principle, like in most things. You want to 80% double down on what works. Don't fix something that isn't broken. But at the same time, that other 20%, that creates the innovation so you can look forward, see what's coming in the future, see where the market is moving. See, because the thing is, if you continue to innovate on what's already working and you break that, you don't really have any more runway because you just broke the thing that was giving you your runway. But if you fail to innovate and the market shifts, well, now you have a problem.
Welcome to the Isaac Velez Show, a life design podcast helping you design and live your dream life. I'm Isaac, your host and life design coach. My goal is to help you build the life you want so you can do what you want when you want. Get ready for vulnerable stories, actionable insights, and world-class conversation. Let's dive right in.
Welcome, life designers, to another episode on the Isaac Velez Show. As you can see, we're in a new setup, same office, but just changing things around a little bit. And today, I want to talk to you guys about the biggest mistakes, the biggest mental mistake that entrepreneurs make. And so what we're going to be focusing on today is the idea of conformity. And the four concepts that I want to cover today are going to be settling for the wrong people, existing limiting beliefs, how we have, you know, a tendency to stop innovating. And lastly, the one thing that I really want to focus on is thinking that what used to work will continue to work. So to start out, let's talk about having the wrong people. This doesn't just mean people that work at your company, be that employees or contractors. This is also friends and relationships that you might have in your life. See, as an entrepreneur, we are who we are around. That's with anyone, really. But the influences around you, both the people that you're mentoring, your mentees, the people beside you, your peers, and the people that you look to, your mentors, these influences are going to shape who you are. They have a big effect on what we choose to do. And so what you have to understand is you need to protect your influence. You need to protect your influence by protecting who should be and who shouldn't be in your circle. There may be some people who are outdated, who are unwilling to evolve, that you might need to say, hey, they were a great person, but they're not going to be what I need in the next season of my life. You know, if you're looking to have a great marriage, for example, or to find a long-term partner, and you're looking at mentors who are all single and bachelors, they're not going to be the right influence for you. So it's also making sure that we're being honest with ourselves and that you are being honest with yourself about what kind of influences do you need in your life. Now, when it comes to the specifics and when we talk about your business, well, what do you need to be doing? Are the people that are at your company, are they invested? Do they see the vision? Have you communicated that vision to them? See, a big mistake is one, people don't always know the vision. You might know the vision, but again, other people might need more explaining. They might need more convincing. Because again, when it's your vision, no one understands it as clearly and as passionately as you do. And that's a gift, but it's also your responsibility to make sure that you tell your team and the people in your team how that vision applies to them and why they should be invested, why they should care. The biggest question you want to ask from the perspective of anyone you engage with is what's in it for them? Why should they commit to this? Why should they be a part of this? What's in it for them? Now, moving on to the need for innovation. We can think about big companies like a Blockbuster getting killed by a small company, Netflix, and then Netflix becomes a big company. But that's just the cycle. Netflix at some point will be killed off by another company that decides to innovate, that decides to do what Netflix fails to do and takes that control. And so what we have to do as entrepreneurs is we have to always make sure that we're innovating. There is a balance. And this is where I've learned personally, because I'm the kind of guy that likes changing things. It's the Pareto principle, like in most things. You want to 80% double down on what works. Don't fix something that isn't broken. But at the same time, that other 20%, that creates the innovation so you can look forward, see what's coming in the future, see where the market is moving. See, because the thing is, if you continue to innovate on what's already working and you break that, you don't really have any more runway because you just broke the thing that was giving you your runway. But if you fail to innovate and the market shifts, well, now you have a problem. Let's break this down into an example of a creator. Let's say they're a food creator and they're doing amazing on TikTok, right? They're blowing up on TikTok and TikTok is the only focus that they have. TikTok is bringing in all their revenue. So they shouldn't just stop doing TikTok because that's where the revenue is coming in. But now what happened? We have a bill in Congress and then that passed in the Senate, or yeah, it's Congress total, that passed that forces TikTok to be sold within the next 6 months. It forces it to go from the parent company, ByteDance, because it's Chinese, to an American company, or it's banned. If we play out that scenario, TikTok gets banned, this creator loses their platform where they made money. Now they have nothing. Now let's say this creator had decided to start testing out Instagram, start to see what parts of what they were already doing could work on Instagram. Now if TikTok goes away, it hurts, but now they have something else that they've innovated for and they've already established a baseline. It's the same thing with stocks. If you invest all your money into Apple and Apple goes away, you lose your money. If you invest into the Magnificent Seven stocks, if one of them goes, the other ones might tank, but you didn't lose anything. Or you didn't lose everything, I apologize. Because if you lose 1/7 of your investment, that's completely different than your entire investment. And so making sure that we continue to innovate, even as some things succeed, because entrepreneurship is about trying, trying, trying. Most of it fails, but then the ones that win, they win hopefully more than the failures. But again, you want to continue to innovate even after you have some successes. So the next thing that I want to talk about is the limiting beliefs that we keep. And that goes to bigger things. This is probably the biggest tie to your personal life out of any of these four things. When you choose to go on the path of entrepreneurship, and let's say you've been on that path for 4, 5, 6 years, you have your own company, you have these visions of where you want to go, you have to go back to the why. Why did you start the company? What purpose does it serve? Why does it exist? And when you go back to these things, you have to figure out, what's the underlying driving here? Am I proving someone wrong? Right? Is it a push factor, right? Negativity is a push factor that forces me to do this? Or is it a pull factor? The idea of, you know, being able to set your own hours or live anywhere in the world. Again, there's no wrong answers, but you want to reevaluate those things because you want to say, you know, why am I not at the next level of where I want to be? And that's what life design is about. It's a conscious effort to intentionally live your life. And so if you're not where you want to be, which is an okay thing, you got to figure out, well, how do I get to the next level? And so is it, a lot of times it's the beliefs that we have on ourselves. It's the beliefs on, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I'm the person capable of of achieving X outcome. And so to get rid, to get past those limiting beliefs, you have to believe it's possible. Well, how do you believe it's possible? Either you do the thing, or you watch other people do the thing and then you realize it is possible. So for example, let's say you're an entrepreneur, you're making $20,000 a month with your online business. You don't think it's possible for you to really get to $50,000 a month. I mean, to go over double what you're currently making, that sounds a bit crazy to you. But if you then see an entrepreneur running an online business in the same industry, making $120,000, now you might believe it's possible because someone else is doing it. And so a lot of times getting rid of limiting beliefs is getting crystal clear on why you're doing something, why you're not progressing, and then seeing someone else that regardless progressed, right? Like the limiting belief is really just you and there's other people that have already gone past that. So maybe you just need the realization. Maybe you need a little more and you need the mentorship. But it's identifying what you need. You know, something that I was working on earlier today was identifying, okay, what are the KPIs that I'm tracking at each part of my funnel? And what are the main things I'm tracking? So for example, you know, I have a 4-stage funnel. So we have the rented audience, social media, owned audience, newsletter. We have the nurtured audience, and that's mainly just people within the what we're calling a flywheel. So they're kind of in the mix of everything. They've been in the mix of everything. And then the last part is monetized. People that, again, I'm working one-on-one with. That's the high ticket goal is just the one-on-one. So again, if I'm looking at the model, what am I tracking? Well, everything really starts with views. Like, how many people am I engaging? And the second KPI I'm tracking is followers, subscribers. How many people are sticking around? Because there's a conversion rate there. Once I go to the owned audience, how many people go to visit the website, newsletter, landing page? How many people are seeing the page? Views, still. How many people sign up for the newsletter? Conversions. How many people do we get? And so it's KPIs like this, and even something else that I'm working on is what I'm calling the weekly CEO report card. And it's basically the main KPIs in the business that I want to be tracking. And so it involves revenue, expenses, net income, in other words, profit. It also involves cash collected, expected cash. And it also involves, or expected revenue, sorry. And it also includes, you know, calls booked, show rate, and then the close rate. Because when you track these numbers, right, the numbers tell the story. They tell you what's going on in the business. If the number's too low, you have a weak point. If the number's too high, maybe there's a point where you could be, you know, you could lower that number down by making another number go up. So it's things like these when it comes to limiting beliefs that it's more about systematizing and exposing yourself to people that are already doing the thing and not making it as big of a deal as it has to be. And the last thing that I kind of want to pivot over a little bit is it's more, the last issue is more about a sense, a warped sense of balance. See, one of the biggest mistakes is that people try to go into problems with outdated solutions. They think that what worked in the past will continue to work. And in part, there's a lot of fundamentals that will continue to work. For example, something like marketing and persuasion and sales, like it's always existed. Like human nature has existed, not really changed much over the last years. But the medium, the way that things are done, that continues to change. The market continues to change. You know, great companies that innovate with great systems, great people that understand how the business works, those will always be around. But the actual companies themselves, they will continue to cycle every single year, decades. And then, you know, if you look at 80 years, a lot of companies that used to be extremely big back in 1920, 1940, it's a completely different world now. A lot of those companies don't exist anymore. And so we have to always be open and adaptable to change. Just as in the same way that we're willing to innovate, we have to be adaptable and ready for change, because change comes whether we like it or not. And as an entrepreneur, we don't get the luxury of getting to believe something else. The world we live in will change. And so the question is, what are you going to do about it? And I think that's one of the beauties about living in the present. For example, you know, I'm an early stage entrepreneur. Again, I have a lot of a runway ahead of me to discover more about business. And that's a great thing, because I get to enjoy this component, this season of entrepreneurship. This doesn't come back. You know, if you're, you know, maybe you're still in your first business, maybe it's 15, 20 years later, or maybe you're on business 3 or 4. This is a part of the journey. It's a part of the process. And if you miss this now, by getting so caught up in where you're trying to go, you don't get this moment back. And so it's part of it is enjoying the moment where you are and just being grounded in the present, but you don't forget where you're going. And that's the whole model that we look at with the pilot, the plane, and the engineer. The pilot is the navigation system. Where are we going? What point A, point B? The engineer, you know, making sure the systems are good, making sure, you know, we're filling up the gaps, that we're solving any mechanical problems. But that only composes 20% of the time. 80% of the time is the plane, is actually the flight time. And if you can't love the plane, if you can't love just flying and doing the thing, regardless of where you are on the flight, you're going to live a 20% life happy. 80% you're going to be wishing and desiring for something more. It's a great quote that I think is put, one of my favorite ways about desire is Naval Ravikant. And he says, desire is a contract that you make with yourself to be unhappy until you get what you want. Happiness, fulfillment, satisfaction, even wealth are all internal. They're all within our ability to control. And they're all things that, with a simple reframe, can completely change our life. So as an entrepreneur, you have, some people call it a curse, some people call it a gift, some people call it talent, some people call it hard work. You have something deep inside you that calls you for something different, something out of the ordinary. And it's only up to you to decide how you want to view that and how you want to use that. But I'll tell you that it's the biggest gift I've been given. And that doesn't make the journey less hard. It probably, in fact, makes it harder than it has to be for most people. But that's the price that I'm willing to pay for greatness. And you got to ask yourself that question. Are you willing to pay the price for greatness? Because if you're not, there's nothing wrong with that. But don't expect great results when you're not willing to put in great effort, right? It's a lot about congruency in life. I hope you guys are enjoying the new layout. I'm probably getting something on this wall. But again, just want to take about 30 seconds to tell you guys how grateful I am for each and every one of you, whether it is your first time listening or you have been a listener for a long time. I deeply, deeply appreciate you. And I am excited to tell you guys that the future of the platform is looking bright, because I am looking to make bigger and bigger changes to how good the content is, how much value I provide. And as always, any feedback, any criticisms, any support is always greatly appreciated. If you want to send us an email at support@isaacantoniovelez.com, we do look at all our emails and we hope to hear from you guys about how we can serve you better. But until next time, that's all. Thank you, Life Designers, and I will catch you all in the next episode of The Isaac Velez Show. Design your dream life.
If you enjoyed this episode of The Isaac Velez Show, share it with a friend and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, as that greatly helps out the show. If you're serious about designing your dream life and living the life designer lifestyle, visit our website, www.isaacantoniovelez.com, and follow us on Instagram for daily content. Stay tuned for the next episode of The Isaac Velez Show.